turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. As we continue looking at Proverbs chapter 14, looking at the grace of God and wisdom which He gives to His people, and reminded that we're not just talking about physical things as we look at these things, we're talking as well about spiritual aspects of our Christian life and the wisdom which God calls us to and gives us in these things. So we'll read together the whole chapter looking this morning, beginning at verse 14. So let us hear together the word of God. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that worketh, walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be upright. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied with himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is life of the flesh, but envy and rottenness. But envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him that has mercy, he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. And thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue looking at wisdom and folly, the second part of the sermon that we're looking at here this morning looks at the fact that God provides for his people through Christian wise prudence. And actually, as we look at these verses 14 through 24, We are looking an awful lot at what happens between the fool and the wise person. And we see an awful lot of foolishness going on. Going back even to verse 13. Even in laughter the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. We have to understand something. We have a culture that runs after, looks after diversions. After being, can't think of the word, amusement. Amusement, if you take the word apart, by the way, means without thinking about it. Looking for fun. And we so often as Christians get involved in that. Very interesting discussion I had with my father not long ago about the desires. And from a certain perspective, they're good desires to build a church. And yet at that same time, the desire was so that I wouldn't have to work hard. Was the root of this desire to build a church so I could get away with doing less. And that's not the right desire to build the church. And yet often it is that desire that says, you know what, if we would just have a few more people here, I wouldn't have to work so hard. Well, I'm sorry, that's not a right desire as a Christian. God provides for His people through doing things, through being obedient. Instead of amusement, we need to seek after the glory of the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you, Jesus says. And so, brothers and sisters, we're looking at the fact that we are to labor in obedience to God, and that is profit. And folly, as we continue in this passage, leads to poverty, both physically and eternally. God provides for His people through means, through wise obedience to Him. In fact, inordinate confidence, being too confident, is often a sign that we haven't examined our way well. Verse 14. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Oh, I'm doing it right. Ain't nobody ever did it good as I did. Well, you know that's foolishness. And yet there's many people that are walking that way in this world. The good man will be satisfied from God. From Him who is above Himself is the translation of that last verse and word in verse 14. From above. From God. So we need to trust in the Lord. Verse 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. And in that self-confidence, the simple believes every word. I know whether you're telling me the truth or not. Verse 15. Those exact words. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Think about this from the perspective of our Christianity. We need to understand something. Everything that is called Christianity isn't. We need to consider it. We need to look at what is being sold as Christianity and say, is this what God says? That's what the Bereans did. Even the Paul. If they had to check out Paul, you better check Grossman out too, by the way. Let me tell you. Paul says they did a very good thing in searching the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so that Paul was teaching. The simple believes every word. Verse 17, they inherit folly. Or verse 18, I'm sorry. The prudent trusts but verifies. We're not a people that says, okay, every word I hear, I don't believe. And yet at that same time, we check it out. What does God say? What is right? What is wrong? And we need to do that in our lives too. We need to consider. We need to work hard. We need to trust people. And yet at that same time, we need to make sure that they're doing what they're saying they're doing. And the prudent is crowned with knowledge instead of wisdom eluding them, as we've seen in verses 6 through 8. A quick temper produces foolishness. Oftentimes I need to hear that. It's too easy to be quick. Every one of us needs to hear that, I think. Those who are of wicked intentions, the end of verse 17, is easily found out. And they're hated. And yet, I think this is why politicians have such a bad name, but that's a different story. But the evil will bow before the good. Brothers and sisters, this is great comfort. We have to understand something. We live in a world and we wonder and we say, what's going on here? Has this thing gone out of control? God's got it in hand. We've heard, we've looked at, even in Proverbs, God uses the sinner to His glory, to the good of His people. And praise the Lord for that. Even when they're seeking our hurt and our destruction, brothers and sisters, it is a great, it is a glorious thing to know that God's good enough for us in this life. And yes, even if they would, as Jesus says, do not fear Him who can kill the body. Fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. God provides eternal life, even if, yes, they get the better of us in this life. It's not the end of the world. It's just the beginning. And so, our Christian affections, our desires on this world are changed. That's part of that conversion, part of that regeneration that God works in our heart. Part of our sanctification too, because let me tell you, it's not right away. You know that. That God changes what we want. Instead of following the desires of the world, I want ease, I want this, I want that. We from time to time sing hymns and say, Lord, don't give me what is easy, give me what is necessary. That's what the Bible teaches. God will not overbear upon us those things which we don't need. We know that. And so, if God sends us through a trial, He's not doing something to us because, well, God's just mean and nasty. He sends us through that trial to prepare us, to fit us for heaven. That's what James says. So trials aren't a bad thing to be run away from at every cost, but instead our prayer ought to be in trials, Lord, teach me quickly what I need to know. Yes, that does translate into get me out of this quicker. But I need to learn from these trials. And so God changes what we desire. Verse 20, the poor man is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. That's easy. I've never recognized that so much as I recently have with a man I know. It's a long distance from here. But everybody goes and visits him. He was a pretty powerful executive. He has a lot of money. And when people go to where he lives, everybody I know, pastors, students, whatever it is, goes and visits this guy. And he's a good enough guy from a certain perspective, but he's got money. Are we twisted? Are we turned by those people that have money? Are we driven by what they have? Verse 21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Instead of running after money, instead of running after those we think can help us, we're called as God's people to put our time in helping the poor. Jesus, yes, did spend some time with the powerful, but usually when he was with the powerful, he was in trouble, getting in problems. Usually, He was dealing with the sinners, with the tax collectors, with the people who were in trouble. And we as Christians need to start there, not with, let's get the high ups. We need our affections changed. We need to pray for that. We need to know that it's going to happen. And God crowns the diligent wisdom of His people with plenty. Those who devise evil, verse 22, will go astray, but mercy and truth belongs to those who devise good. Do we think about, do we plan for good things? What's a central theme in this section? It's planning. Do we plan our Christian walk? It's foolish to say what many people say, let go and let God. We plan. We are to not just sit back, relax, and hook up to the roller coaster and say, okay, the roller coaster's got me. Because we don't know where we're going to end up. We need to actively pursue righteousness. We need to actively pursue wisdom. Spend our time in the Word of God. Spend our time turning off the boob tube. And read the Word. Listen to it. We can get it on CD, MP3. We can get the Bible in so many ways nowadays, it's just embarrassing to hear. And there are people who've never heard the whole thing. It doesn't take much time. You farmers are going out to farm in the field. Good opportunity. Throw a MP3 player in your tractor. You can listen to the whole Bible probably by the time you're done with two fields. It'd be worth it. If anybody wants help with that, I'll set it up. I know how. We can do it. Instead of sitting back, relaxing, and saying, well, I don't know where this is taking me, but okay, I'll go. We as Christians are to plan our Christian walk piece by piece by piece. Yes, we know that God works in us. But the first part of that is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That fear and trembling part needs to come in too. If I don't work out my own salvation, I don't obviously have enough fear and trembling of who God is. God crowns the diligent wisdom of His people with plenty. In all labor there's profit. Yeah, sometimes we don't get the profit we're looking for. Education costs something, I've heard a few times since coming to Ashwood. And sometimes we need education more than we need money in our pockets. But we need to spend our time in labor before the Lord. To spend our time working as Christians. Idle talk, idle chatter, mere talk, tends only to poverty. All we can do is talk. We're not doing anything. We talked about that earlier, that where the ox is in the stall, there's going to be a mess. We're not going to do it right every time. But as Christians, the first thing we need to do is we need to plan and to labor as Christians before the Lord. And wisdom is crowned with riches. The crown of the wise, verse 24, is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Wisdom is crowned with riches. Of course, wisdom being in first reference in Proverbs. Faith in Christ. Faith in the coming Messiah, of course, from this perspective. But wisdom, the idea of wisdom is that we put first God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Notice that word seek in there. Again, we're active in this. We're not just passive. Seek first God's righteousness and all these things will be added to you. That's what Psalm 23 says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But Proverbs teaches us that we don't just sit back and ride, hook on for the roller coaster ride. We as Christians are to be actively seeking and desiring to be built up in wisdom, to run away from folly. As we said, if you see someone, when you see, go from the presence of a fool, or seven, when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. You see someone that's an idiot? I love how Solomon says it elsewhere. Don't try to argue with a fool. He'll get down below you in the ditch and beat you with experience. But from a Hebrew perspective, I love the end of verse 24 here. The foolishness of fools is folly. If you know Hebrew, when you have a superlative in Hebrew, you have the word double. So when God created the world and He put grass on it, abundant grass, the word was it grassed grass in Hebrew. How many times do we have the word foolishness in this verse 24, the end here? Three times. What does a fool have? Exceedingly above measure foolishness. That's all they have. If we let ourselves just go, we're going to end up in not just exceedingly folly, but we're going to go way and above and beyond that. And so we need prudence. Yes, we can't be prudent about everything. We can't see everything at the same time. We know that. But what we have to spend our time seeking out is the wisdom of the Lord. And all of these other things will fall into place. If we don't seek the wisdom of the Lord, we're going to end up, verse 24, fools, foolish, full of folly. That's it. That's a very dangerous place to be. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to spend our time seeking after the wisdom, the truth of God's Word, laboring in obedience to God as prophet. God promises to provide for us if we're diligent in obedience to Him. The rest of these things fall into place. But if we put God out to pasture, if you will, all the rest of these things are going to fall apart and you're going to end up with one thing, nothing, foolishness. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. Let us rise and bow before God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious and our merciful Heavenly Father, we do beg and pray for wisdom. We confess, O Lord, that so often we have sought after the things of this world first of all. We have sought what we thought would be important and good for us, instead of seeking Your Word and seeking the kingdom of God. And all of these other things then fall into place. We do look to Your hand for provision for all of our needs. We pray, O Lord, as we look forward and anticipate planting a crop, even as we consider that we are far later in the year than we often like to be. Yet, O Lord, You are He who sends the wind and the rain. And so, Lord, we pray that you would provide for us through the labors, through diligent labor, certainly. But we know that you are He who provides the increase. And as well, O Lord, we pray that you would provide for us increase in our faith. That, O Lord, that we might be diligent in seeking not only earthly wisdom, but eternal wisdom. And that you would provide increase as well there to the glory of your good and holy name. We pray now, O Lord, that you would bless us, that you would receive our thanksgiving, our prayers, our praises, knowing that our salvation, knowing that all of this is bound up because of what Christ has done for us. And so we pray this, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.